This week, you get to meet Wei Luo. She was born in the southern part of China, and she's been studying at the Curtis Institute in Philadelphia for the past 3 years. Last year, much to her surprise and delight, she received the 2018 Gilmore Young Artist Award. That's an incredible opportunity because the Gilmore family, as Wei Luo puts it, will watch over her now as she launches her career. She has a brand new solo recording out. It's her debut. It's self-titled, and it has a very powerful theme exploring war and death. That's what's happening this week on New Classical Tracks from American Public Media. I'm Julie Amacher. I'm talking with Wei Luo about her debut recording, and I'm very excited, Wei, to talk with you about how you put this recording together. But first, I want to know a little bit about you and how the piano became such an important form of expression for you.
Yes, that's a really good question. So actually, I'm the only child in my whole family who learned music. Like, my father is a professor in mathematics and my mom was a novel writer. But I really love music since I was young. And my parents, they loved to play music CDs at my apartment. And then at a very young age, my mom took me to see like Swan Lakes or Sleeping Beauty, the ballet. And then I really loved the Russian music since then. I think the melodies are especially beautiful and really touching, and also the harmonies are like very easy to understand, and you can tell the stories from, because I was watching the ballet, you can tell the story from the dancers and also the stage setting and also the music. So I love everything all together at first, and then I tried to learn ballet and it didn't work out, and then I learned music.
So instead you're doing ballet on the keyboard, huh?
Exactly. And then that was when I was very young. And then I went to kindergarten around 4 years old. And there was musical program back then. And then there was one upright piano in each of the classroom. And the teacher used to play piano for the kids. And I didn't know what that was. And I was so amazed by the sound. And then after I got home, I asked my mom, "Mom, what's the, like, the closet that makes magical sound?" And my mom said, "Oh, that's a piano." And I said, "Can I learn to play the instrument?" And she's like, maybe it's not a small toy, and I already have tons of toys." And she asked me to take serious consideration about learning piano. And she gave me 1 month to think about. And then I thought about for 1 month and told her later, "Mom, I still want to learn music and play the piano." And later, she and my father got me a small upright piano as my 5-year-old birthday gift. And then that's where everything started.
Well, and you really knew from that very moment that you wanted to become a pianist, that you wanted to commit yourself to this instrument. How did you know that at such a young age?
I don't know. I just feel like when I play the piano, I feel the happiest, like, among everything I do. So my friends ask me out to play with them. I sometimes go out with them, but I feel like when I play the music, I feel like the most special and the happiest. So I want to stay with the piano rather than going out. So, yeah.
Well, what is it you think about performing that gives you so much joy? Because it's not just playing the piano, but also being able to perform for others that really makes you happy, right?
Yes. Yes. And I wasn't a very extroverted person when I was young. And I think I like to use my music as a way to communicate with others. And I think I'm more brave in music than I was in real life.
Oh, interesting. Well, you've been studying at the Curtis Institute in Philadelphia since you were 13. And I think now, if I'm correct, you might be 20 years old?
Yes, yes.
And this was a school that your mother was determined you know, you would attend this school. And I know that put a little bit of pressure on you. How did it make you feel? I mean, were you okay with that in the end? Has it worked out okay for you?
Yes, it was a lot of pressure. But it did work out well. And I'm very grateful to have the opportunity to come to Curtis. And I think that's one of the most correct decisions like we have ever made.
It had to be a little scary, though, putting all your eggs in that one basket. I mean, most students would apply at, you know, two, three or more schools and then kind of have an additional plan. But she really was determined you were going to go to that school. So,
yeah,
a little bit of pressure there.
Yeah.
You've had the chance to study with some pretty incredible teachers, including Gary Groffman. And you've said he's been like a grandfather to you. Could you talk a little bit more about how he's impacted your life?
Yes, he is like a grandfather to me. And I remember during my first year, I was performing for the first time at Curtis. And he came to my recital after like 20 hours travel from China. And I remember him like carried his big luggages all the way from airport. And it was winter and he was like really tired. And like his eyes are like red, but he said he's still calm and support me because it's my first time performing here. And then I was really touched by this. And the second story was a few years ago, I was playing a Mozart concerto for him. And I was playing and he really liked it. And he stopped me, said, "Is there a wrong note in the left hand? E major chord?" And I said, "Oh, let me check." And then he said, "I played that one was 15. It didn't sound right to me." And I was like, "Oh, how can you remember everything from when you were 15 and now you are 90? So he said, "I pay a lot of attention to the details. That's why." So I was really inspired by his attitude towards like details when we try to play the music.
Robert McDonald has also been an important teacher for you.
Yeah.
What have you learned that's been most memorable so far from him?
I learned so much from him because I think he's a very strict teacher and he's so great and he pays so much attention to the music itself and also like work really closely with me like on every phrase, on every like section. So he and Gary like are very different professors. They have different teaching style. Like Gary is more like structural and Bob is more like detail oriented also. So
you received the 2018 Gilmore Young Artist Award, and that's an award that the recipients aren't even aware that they're being considered for. So how did it feel to earn such a special honor?
Yeah, I still remember the moment I got a call from the director of the foundation. And he told me that, "Oh, you won the Gilmore Young Artist of 2018. And I was like, "Really?" I was so amazed and I just couldn't believe it. And then I called my manager and my manager said, "Ah, yes. That's true." Like, yeah, so.
And what does that mean for your career?
I think Gilmore is like my family. They support me in many different ways. And also because of the Gilmore, I have much more opportunities to perform. And yeah, just feel like I have someone to support me, like no matter where I am and what I do. So they're like that to me.
Wei, your love of Russian composers is definitely reflected in your debut release. In fact, I think you have three different Russian composers represented from three different eras. Let's talk about those pieces and how you chose them. The first would be just two of the 24 preludes by Shostakovich. How did you choose those two?
The number 24 is very monumental to me. The first time I remember I heard the theme from the fugue, I was really touched. The theme reminds me the like death and desperation from the war. Like everything is devastated. But later on in the fugue, like he started to add more elements in, and I feel like that's the hope coming in after the war. And the number five is very beautiful.
And then they're in D major and D minor, so they complement one another in that way, perhaps, too.
Yes. Number five is more peaceful.
The theme of this recording is very powerful, war and death, and that seems like a pretty intense theme for a debut recording. How did you come to that conclusion?
Because I realized the pieces on my debut album, they are somewhat related to war and death, such as the Ravel La Valse, which is a memory of the great like Viennese culture, but everything was devastated after World War I, and it's a very dark but beautiful piece. And the Prokofiev Seventh Sonata is known as one of the war sonatas.
Prokofiev said that these sonatas expressed his true feelings. Do you know what he meant by that?
I think there was a story behind it. So before he started compose the war sonatas, Stalin asked Prokofiev to compose something that's praising Stalin himself. And he was really not happy to do it, but he did it. And then right before he composed this war sonatas, one of his like close friend just died, persecuted by Stalin. Then Prokofiev was really mad, so that's why he wrote the war sonatas. So the anger and the sadness, everything is expressed in these war sonatas.
There is a contemporary Russian composer featured on this recording, two pieces by him. His name is Rodion Shedrin. Why did you choose to feature these two pieces on this recording?
First of all, because they are fun, and also I want to introduce some piano music that's rarely played, actually. And I just want to introduce the audience to some more Russian composers. And also, I think it's war-related. And actually, Shedrin was considered one of the most important composers after Shostakovich, because he took the position where Shostakovich was in Soviet Union. And of course, he was a great composer, and he composed many things for ballet, actually. This piece, especially the second short piece on this album by Shedrin, is called Bass Ostinato. So So you can hear the constant left hand octaves going on, and the right hand is trying to create a mysterious and still like war.
How does the Haydn Piano Sonata in E flat major fit into this theme of war and death?
That's a good question. And I think if everything is like about war, this is the only piece that represents all the wonderful stuff that's not related to war. So
maybe it's just a little palate cleanser in a way.
Yeah, that's the only dreadful piece in the whole album.
It's the debut solo release from Wei Luo, a young 20-year-old pianist who was born in China and now spends her time in Philadelphia at the Curtis Institute. She has a bright future ahead of her. Thanks to Valerie Kaler for producing this episode of New Classical Tracks. If you enjoy this podcast, the best thing that you can do is to tell everybody else about it. Spread the word about New Classical Tracks and take a moment to rate and review us on your podcasting app. I'm Julie Amacher.